Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Gordon Wilson, who's a senior fellow of natural history at New St. Andrews College, which is in Idaho, I believe. And he is the host and producer of a new film celebrating God's creation, and it's called The Riot and the Dance. Riotandthedance.com for more information. Dr. Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. First of all, before we get into the film itself, tell us a little bit about your own background in terms of, Christianity and especially appreciating God's creation.
Well, I grew up in Annapolis, Maryland, and I was in a very strong, loving Christian home. My mom and dad were 24/7 Christians. We had just a wonderful atmosphere in the home. I came to the Lord around 6 years old, and about that time, 5 or 6 years old, I remember being extremely fascinated with living creatures. I didn't know the word biology, but I remember my older brothers bringing home a couple of box turtles from the woods across the street, and I was just extremely fascinated with them. They weren't that, turtle. These are great turtles, but they were both shy, and they were all shelled up. But mm-hmm. They weren't behaving in any interesting way, but I was just still enthralled with living creatures. I also remember seeing a crab in our sandbox. Somebody somehow placed a crab they probably got from the Chesapeake Bay, and I was also fascinated. So it was just innate from the very, very beginning. I remember going through one of my first phases was really interested in whales. I don't know, it was probably triggered by a book on whales we had in the home. And in a kindergarten sort of way, did a Crayola crayon book of whales on construction paper, scotch tape together. And those are just some of the early memories of me being enthralled with living things.
Okay, as you went on to study all this, I'm sure you were exposed to the evolutionary side of things, as opposed to intelligent design or God's creation. Tell us about that.
Well, that's for sure. When I was growing up, it was kind of before private Christian, at least private Christian evangelical Protestant schools. And so I was public schooled, and I remember early on I was going through a phase of dinosaurs, as many kids did back in the 60s, mm-hmm. digging out plastic dinosaurs from cereal boxes. And I remember the school teaching me, millions of years and all of this stuff. They were just following the curriculum, and it was secular. So I started hearing that, and I was interested. I fancied myself an academic back then, and I realized that there was a disparity between what I was learning at school and what I was learning at church, and in a sort of vague way, I realized that they were incompatible. And the more I dug deeper, the more I realized it's very incompatible. Around junior high, I said, I can't try to merge these two narratives. One's got to be right, one's wrong, or they're both wrong. But because of my strong Christian home and the reality I saw in the gospel and authority of the authority of the Bible in my family's life, as I just fully trusted it. I didn't think a fictitious book could be that transformative. So I went with that and read some early books, little tracts on creation from Dwayne Gish called Brainwashed back in seventh grade. And that was kind of the start down that road, even though I went through high school very interested in biology, taking advanced biology. And then as soon as I hit college, I was going to be a biology major. then I segued into education, where I really wanted to teach. So I did a kind of education major with an education degree with a biological science major within the College of Education. So I got that degree, but it was all evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And but I kept, I learned it. I figured I needed to learn it really well. I wasn't at all seduced by the theory. I was just, my faith stayed strong, and the more I studied, the more I realized how bankrupt the theory was. Grad school was the same way. I just learned what they wanted me to learn, and I figured if I wanted to in any way be an effective enemy against this stronghold, that, I mean, going back to Corinthians, this is a
every thought captive
that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. If I wanted to be effective against it, I needed to know my enemy. And so I encourage creationists who go into biology to know the theory of evolution as well as they can, and know what they believe, know why they believe it, know why the antithesis is wrong.
Did you at any point feel like, oh, wow, you know, maybe there is something to this that is Darwinian evolution?
Yeah. You know, there were times where I would go, that's interesting. And I would wonder about it. Didn't shake my faith. I would just go a little bit deeper. And when your faith is strong, I see some people whose faith is weak, and they're easily shaken up by some little factoid. And it's almost, some are legitimately, I mean, they really get shaken. But I think a lot of people are just looking for an excuse to reject their faith. They may have grown up, they've seen hypocrisy in the home, in their church, or whatever, and they're just looking for a way out. And then they use some intellectual reason to say, you know, I'm done with this. But I think if people, there's so many resources out there that if you just look a little bit deeper and not just these shallow arguments that the Darwinian spokespeople give, it's a slam dunk.
Well, now, as you created this film, one of the themes, of course, is God's wonderful creation. But then it seems almost as if perhaps a sub-theme as well is the fact that nature is red with tooth and claw. I forgot exactly who said it that way. But what we see then is the complexity of what God has made, but then we also see the effects of the fall. So from a Judeo-Christian perspective, a biblical worldview, nature makes, to me, it fits more with the Christian worldview than it does with the pagan evolutionary view that everything is natural selection, which, by the way, is a way of saying there's no design in natural selection.
Yeah. Well, you know, from the comparing the two worldviews, you know, both a biblical worldview and a Darwinian worldview will account for this gnarly nature red in tooth and claw. We look at it and say this is the result of the fall. Darwinists would say this is just the way life evolved. You know, the survival of the fittest, the elimination of the weak, the elimination of those that are susceptible to diseases and whatever. So we both, in our own narratives, account for the riot part. The thing that their theory can't account for is just the design. Because shining through all of this riot, there is incredible design. Both paradigms say it's designed. The Darwinists would just say it's apparent design. Well, they'll use the word design, but they wouldn't think intelligently designed. They just think that variation and natural selection can account for all of the complexity in life. And as we dig deeper and unveil all of the cellular and molecular complexity of life, we see that is way, way beyond what random mutation can accomplish. From, you know, if you look at the whole evolutionary tree, you've got to go from bacteria, which is the, you know, the simplest form of life, to baleen whales, and you know, with echolocation, both in whales as well as in bats. And all sorts of other incredibly sophisticated biological gadgetry. And they still have to keep on going back to, well, it's naturalistic. It happened naturalistically. It was just, you know, trial and error. And then the trials that worked in the struggle for life were selected for, and those that didn't work were selected against. But all of their just-so stories do not explain the genesis of the complexity. Once it's there, yes, natural selection selects for it. So natural selection is not a dirty word. Natural selection selects. It doesn't create. And so that's the thing that that theory does not account for. It doesn't account for the genesis of the complexity and the biological information that brings it into existence.
Okay, your film is Riot and the Dance, or The Riot and the Dance. And it's going to be one of those kind of events where it'll be showing real soon on the big screen, like one night.
Right.
But after that, there will be, you know, film life for it in terms of, you know, release of the video. So riotandthedance.com for more information. But go ahead and talk a little bit more about, you know, the goals.
Well, we had the first showing March 19th. Okay. And it was well received, and it was successful, and we got an encore April 19th. Mm-hmm. So this is our second showing, and we are very excited. After that, I'm not sure the timing, but then it'll go into DVD, Blu-ray, streaming. You know, we'll see what we can do as far as the other outlets, but.
But your goal was to celebrate God's creation?
Yep. Celebrate God's creation. It's not exactly an apologetic film in the sense that we're trying to somehow prove the existence of God. We assume it. We assume God is the creator. We just in the same way that the BBC, Nat Geo, they just assume evolution.
Yeah.
They assume that it all happened by...
Yeah, and then they turn around and show God's wonderful creation.
Right.
And then they say, isn't evolution wonderful? Look what happened 3 billion years ago, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, hello.
I think in one sense, although their narration is, very, very strong in terms of trying to convince their audience that this is all just part of... You know, nature grinding away with no intelligence.
You could turn off the soundtrack and just enjoy God's creation.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Seriously.
I think that in one sense, when they bring all of this amazing cinematography into your living room, they're undermining their own
excellent
agenda.
That's a good.
I mean, their narration tries to really promote their agenda, but then. All of this glorious creation is wonderful. It's God. They're showcasing God's artwork. And I think to people who have common sense, go even if people adopt somewhat of an evolutionary way of thinking, they still it's very very hard for the common sense person to totally jettison. This idea of God, so they work God into the equation in some way, shape, or form. But here we are excited about this because a parent or
we have 10 seconds
whose kids love nature, they don't have to do Darwin detox voiceover as they're watching, you know, no Johnny, no Susie, this is, you know, it's not what they're saying, that it happened by chance. and it evolved. It was created by your loving Father in heaven.
Okay, we're basically out of time.
This is why we can do something much different.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, Dr. Gordon Wilson, riotandthedance.com for more information. Thank you, Dr. Wilson. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Great. Now, bye-bye.